we never get to anymore. Let's win this war before they get away. We used to blast whole planets, but now we don't. I wish you would tell me why. Do you want to kill some rebels? I really, really hate those rebels.
Go away.
I hope they die.
They're going to feel pretty stupid when they find out.
Find out what?
Initialize sequence. Jarvis, drop my needle.
The Force with you, young Skywalker. You are not a Jedi.
That's a fake laugh.
It's real!
I knew we were going to talk about, well, I said we were going to talk about Rebels, but holy shit, Walking Dead season 5 premiere.
Holy fuck.
It was so good, and we need to talk about Rebels because, you know, that's what we do around here. We talk Star Wars and shit, but
right.
Walking Dead deserves its own little segment, well, actually big segment, so we're going to give it a big segment later on the show, so look forward to that. But first, welcome back to the Campfire, boys and girls. My name is the greatest man to ever live, Counselor Jack Lambert, and with me, as always, is...
Butter Nugget.
Wait, you guys gotta work this shit out. This is 2 weeks now, Ryan's back. Y'all gotta work out who's always with me.
You know what? I'm gonna let Butter Nugget say it this time.
Just this one time?
On my third show back, I'm taking it back.
I am in the same room with him. So that does make sense that with him, it's me.
All right.
Did you catch that joke, or was there way too much going on? The part where I said, like, porch monkey, you're taking it back?
I heard monkey, did not hear the porch part.
All right. Now, who are you guys? I just played the theme song, so Ryan, do your formal introduction.
And I'm Counselor Ryan.
And you're taking it back.
And I'm taking it back.
Porch monkey. Moon cricket.
Let's not let that be my title. Like, you get greatest man who ever lives. I don't want to be.
And here's Porch Monkey.
Greatest author in the world.
Are you at home? Are you, like, with your parents in Virginia? Because they're probably listening. What the fuck is he talking about porch monkeys for? I know your mom, dude.
My mother's, like, upstairs with her headphones and studying for, like, a big exam.
Okay, good.
So,
I know your mom. Yeah. She's like, we didn't go through all this so my son could call himself a porch monkey.
Exactly.
Fucking Jack corrupting him again. God darn it.
God damn it.
All right, well, let's talk about Rebels, shall we? Tell how excited I sound about it.
We might as well.
Yeah, we might as well. I got a clip, but we'll hold the clip for a minute. I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, this clip isn't going to change your mind about it. And you probably wouldn't be listening to the show.
Did your voice just crack?
It did. I'm going through puberty. Oh, I said I didn't want to play it yet. Fucking YouTube. So, Ryan, I'll ask you, what do you think of Rebels thus far? Well, you've only seen the
movie.
The movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rebels, the movie, a one-hour episode.
I think that's got to be a TV standard. If it's longer than 45 minutes, it's a movie.
I don't know. So, anyway, what do you think, bud?
Except, like, minus commercials, it's 43 minutes, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I like it. It's my entire thought about the main character, like, every time he, like, said something or did something, I was just like, is he, like, he's just Aladdin placed in Star Wars. And, like, they referred to him as a street rat, like, four or five times.
Yeah. But, and the fact that he looks like Aladdin doesn't help things.
Yeah,
either.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. They were just like, it's a, I don't know. It's just, it hasn't hooked me yet.
He hops roofs like Aladdin too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ten minute reveal of, like, you know, Kanan being a Jedi, even though, you know, everyone knew, like, he was the cowboy Jedi. It just felt very lackluster, which I guess would, like, describe how I feel about the entire premiere. It's just very lackluster.
Yeah, even when they made his Jedi-ness, if that's a word known, they were like, oh, are you going to let him find out? And then he's like, the whole world's getting ready to find out. Or some cheesy dialogue like that. And then he, like, raises up on the ghost with his lightsaber out. And it was supposed to be like a kick-ass moment. And I just felt like, ugh. This is not good.
It just fell flat on his face.
It did. Here's my problem with it. I do like it. Okay. The problem I have with it is I did buy A New Dawn. I've only read the first six chapters of it just because I haven't really had time, not because it's not good. So I will preface this statement by making that statement. But I just don't care about the characters. Like, Clone Wars had it easy because you already knew everybody. You knew Anakin, you knew Obi-Wan. They introduced Ahsoka, but they introduced her well. Like with these band of characters, I just don't care about them. Like, if the ghost crashed tomorrow and all four of them died and they brought in, like, new characters, I'd be okay with it. Because I have no emotional attachment to Ezra or Kanan or Hera or Zeb. I just, you know, they need to slow the fuck down on the action and focus on the story. I mean, at its core, Star Wars is a character-driven story. Even though it's called Star Wars, it's not all war movie action like Rebels is trying to be. I mean, if you didn't know Luke was a farm boy from Tatooine going off on these grand adventures, would you care?
Nah.
I mean, it'd just be another disposable action hero.
If you started at Empire Strikes Back, you wouldn't care about the characters as much.
Yeah, it's like they should have used the characters like Luke's uncle and other characters from the fourth movie, and almost like a prequel, you know, after a prequel.
Well, I mean, the reason I brought up the book in general is because I'm sure it does explain at least Kanan and Hera's characters a little bit, but I'm just not far enough into it yet. And the general public at large is not going to read the book. They're just going to jump off at the premiere, and that's where they're going to start. Now, people like you and I are the ones who are going to invest in the book and read it and know what the canon story is, but...
Right.
You know, I just think from a layperson perspective, they're focusing way too much on the children, which is fine because, again, Star Wars at its core has always been a children's film. But they're focusing too much on it. It's like an episode of Power Rangers. There's just all kinds of shit going on that I either don't care about or don't know about or whatever.
Yeah. I would totally agree. Like, I think they thrust Ezra into this whole mix way too quickly.
Right.
They, you know, we're introduced to him and he's like just this kid who's stealing stuff. He isn't doing anything to anyone, like just trying to get food. And then suddenly he's in the mix of this rebellion that's beginning. And there is like, there's no build up to that. There's no, like, you don't get any feelings on Ezra of like, his relationship to the Empire or whatever. He's just suddenly he's there and he's a part of it. And I don't know. It just felt...
He has no relationship to the Empire. Like you said, he's stealing food. He jumps on a fucking speeder to steal a crate that he has no clue what is in the crate. Right. And then, you know, every so often they do a close-up on his face and the Force theme plays, and you're supposed to be like, oh,
yeah,
this kid is Force-sensitive. Awesome. But I got the total opposite reaction. I was like, I don't care.
Right.
But... Ooh. Yeah, I really don't care. And then, to your point, Butter Nugget, to bring characters in, they brought 3PO and R2 in to the second episode already, and they also brought in Bail Organa, so they're trying to push it with familiar characters, but it just felt forced. I mean, this is the... No pun intended.
Well, I don't know if you noticed. Yeah,
this is the second episode. I don't need you to shoehorn people in. I need you to make your own story and get me to care about these characters. And then throw somebody in where I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm starting to see the bridge between this and episode 4.
Well, Organa brought a little bit of interest to me at the end. Because he's interested in them now, which the Rebels don't exist yet. So, I mean, this is the start of the Rebels Alliance. So, I thought that was kind of an interesting twist that they threw at the end of this recent episode. But, another thing I've noticed too is there's a lot of references to things already existing in the real world, in our world. Like, Star Tours. You ever notice that?
that was pretty awesome. In the second episode, Ryan, I know you didn't ride the original version of Star Tours, but you can YouTube it and look it up. They actually used the Star Tours shuttle and the original Captain Rex, not like Captain Rex of Clone Wars and My Tattoo fame, but like Pee-wee Herman Captain Rex, and it was even Pee-wee Herman doing the voice, so it was pretty cool that Disney put that nod in there to the fans. And that was like the only thing I liked about episode 2. Not of Rebels. It was not good.
Do you want to see numbers?
Because episode 2 of the movies is the best of the prequels.
No, how
are you set? Well, technically, the movie is episodes 1 and 2. This last one is actually technically episode 3.
I don't care. I guess point of this is I hope they get better.
So, get this. The movie, as in what you saw, Ryan, last week, had 2.74 million viewers. All right, this recent episode that came out, which is they were calling the premiere episode, only had 1.03 million.
Yeah, and if sorry,
I just want to like point out that I don't want to jump the gun to our later segment, but Walking Dead premiere had 2 million viewers.
Yeah,
just throwing that out there.
Yeah, everybody in the world watched Walking Dead. But back to the Rebels numbers, this would be important if this was like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or any other show. But this is Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it's Disney, and it's on a Disney network. They've already renewed for a second season. Disney will keep putting money into this thing until episode 7 comes out.
That's probably the whole reason that they're doing this. They need something until episode 7 comes out. They'll probably kill it when that movie comes out.
Well, I've heard rumor that maybe one or more of the Rebels characters are going to show up in episode 7.
Yeah, the rumor I heard was that a character from episode 7 will be with somebody in Rebels.
They're going to be like 70 years old.
But that's as far as I've heard. No, man, it'll be
if you think
Rebels
about it...
is 5 years before A New Hope.
Right, and if you think about it, if it's Ezra, he's only a few years older than Luke.
I don't even think... I think he's the exact same age as
really?
Luke. If he's... Yeah, if he's 14, and it's 5 years before A New Hope, so that will put him at 19 when Luke is 19.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the logical choice to me, because... If in Ryan, in the episode you didn't see, Kanan keeps saying, "Oh, and your Jedi training can begin," and now your Jedi training can begin, and they've just pound that into the ground. But the logical step, if they're going to introduce a character, is to make it Ezra. Ezra has been Jedi trained. He was in hiding.
Yeah.
He hooks up with Luke somehow because Luke restarts the fucking beacon at the Jedi Temple or whatever, and wants to restart that whole thing. So now he's got Ezra right off the bat as the second Jedi.
You know what? I just looked up a picture of Oscar Isaac. I see this guy being an older Ezra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I
want to like it. Like trying to pigeonhole it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to like it, and I do like it. I just don't have a connection to it yet.
Holy yeah. crap. Yeah, you're right. He would be an older Ezra.
Yeah. All right, well, let's play this clip since I have it.
The Clone Wars end. The
Jedi Order have fallen.
After the Empire rises.
Get ready now.
The rebellion begins.
Who are these guys?
Light it up.
A new evil.
You did well to call.
A new battle.
You need an opening.
A new place to watch.
I'm going to snuff out this spark before it catches fire.
Watch a new episode of Star Wars Rebels Monday night at 9, 8 central on Disney XD.
So there you go.
You know, that reminds, like, there the point where in the premiere where he's like, oh, well, this spark of rebellion. Like, I felt like Peter Griffin whenever he, like, sees a movie and it's like, oh, hey, separate thing.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard or not, but on October 26th, I believe, they're going to show the movie on ABC. And it's supposed to be like a director's cut where it's going to be extended, and Vader's also going to be in it.
Ooh.
Yeah, voiced by none other than James Earl Jones. So.
Oh, okay. That's a pull. I'll go watch that.
Yeah, I'll watch that one. Just to see if it's any better. Maybe the director's cut is where it's at, and that'll just renew my faith in this whole series.
Watch, it'll probably just be at the very beginning of Inquisitor, I want you to do this, and that's it.
Probably. That's probably exactly what it's going to be.
There's a disturbance in the Force.
And how terrible is it that the main antagonist of the show is named General Kallus?
Yeah, oh my God. Oh,
he has probably picked up a shovel in his life.
General Kallus.
Yeah. All right.
It's almost as bad.
With werewolf sideburns, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, all right, final thoughts on Rebels. What do you guys think?
It's Aladdin with lightsabers.
Nice. They should put that on the back of the DVD. It's Aladdin with lightsabers, says Imperial Jamboree. What do you think, Mitchell?
I'll give it another try. I don't think it's going to go well unless they build up more backstory.
Yeah, and, you know, my thought again is I don't hate it. I don't love it as much as I thought I would. I'll keep watching it. I mean, I watch worse shit on TV. I watch Sons of Anarchy, so.
You watch zombies, for Christ's sake.
Hey, we're going to talk about Walking Dead. Great segue. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we will talk about Walking Dead.
Beat. Hurt the gingerbread boy, because he's pretend bread boy. Little cookie man, never waved to me. So you got knocked out because I flow. No jiggy jar jar dude. Dur 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 dinner. Man, I just flow. Shoe shine. No one wanted your sticky tiara. Cause no one wanted your sticky chair. And why you always talk about the cool kids who take archery? Yeah, you're a shrinky dink. You get a few. If you don't wise up, they call me. Jiggy Jar Jar Do, Dur 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 Dinner. Now all the walkers sing. You cannot handle the flow, son.
Were you singing that in the bathroom?
Yep. You can always count on bad lip reading to do a good Walking Dead song. It's almost as good as bibbidi bibbidum. Bibbidi bibbidi. So, almost. Ryan, I'll let you lead this one. Walking Dead premiere that everybody in the world watched.
Except me.
holy crap. It was like, you know, all right. So if you compare this premiere to the season four premiere, it is like, it's like watching like a snail race something that is far faster. I don't know. Like a car. It just blew through like really very quickly. Like it's, you know, you think, I thought season five would deal with the Terminus like characters, like it was the big antagonist now, but they just totally wiped it out.
Yeah.
In the entire, like within an hour, and it was beautiful. It was beautifully executed.
Yeah, executed. Pun fully intended on that one too.
No pun intended. No. I wish I didn't intend that.
Yeah, so if you listened a bunch of episodes ago, you heard me say that I was a big fan of the way season four ended, especially when Rick said they're screwing with the wrong people. And then I found the alternate take where he said fucking with the wrong people, hence the new part of our intro there, because I thought it was so cool. And I really wanted him to deliver on that. I wanted a big action set piece, just Rick fucking shit up, and they did it.
Yeah.
But then Carol shows up, and she's just fucking shit up even worse than Rick even imagined.
Yeah.
It was so good. If you didn't see it, I don't want to go full spoiler with it. Just know that you really should see it.
Holy crap. Oh, man. I swore they were going to, that a major character was like that. That's...
You sound like a broken record there, dude.
But at the beginning, every time they swung that bat at Glenn, here we go, no spoilers, but every time they swung that bat at Glenn, I'm like, they're not going to fucking kill Glenn. Not like this, not right off the bat. So that part had zero suspense to me. Like Bob, maybe. When he started talking shit, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe he's going to go. But there's no way they're going to kill Glenn in this episode, at least.
Right. I guess I wish they had killed somebody just to, like, all right, the stakes are fucking high this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. But you still got Beth out there running around somewhere. No one knows where the hell she's at. Clearly, she's going to show back up, because if you watched the extended trailer for Walking Dead, they showed her. So she is going to pop back up. She is safe. They're not going to do like a slow burn on it. I think they're going to probably before mid-season, if not sooner, they will shed light onto where she's at. Go ahead.
It seemed to me like she was like in some sort of hospital like type area.
I thought more like a church.
Okay.
Yeah. And we need to get back into the swing of things, because this is like an awkward date again. You like say something and I'm like, oh, go ahead. You were saying something? Sorry, baby. You can talk. It's all good. So, I mean, I'm glad that they didn't kill somebody. I'm glad that they didn't do the obvious with Carol, because as soon as she walked into that room with all the candles and everything, I looked at my wife and I was like, $5 as she gets caught. And then she did get caught. But she fucking got out of it like a boss. I mean, it was predictable, but then it was like, oh shit, that just happened. So that was good.
I loved when she was like leaving, what's his name? Tyrese? Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah. When she's leaving him, she's like, what are you going to do? I'm going to kill people. And it's like, oh shit.
Yep.
Oh shit. It's over.
Yeah, because if you look at her character progression from season one, she was a battered wife and, you know, had Sophia and was taking care of her and everything. And then, of course, her husband dies and Sophia dies. And then you go later into the series and Rick ostracizes her from the group. And so her character is probably the most interesting to me at this point. Like, season one or two, I'd be like, oh, this is just going to be annoying because, you know, she's going to play the victim and be this whole stereotypical abused woman. But, oh, my God, how they have changed her. It's like night and day, literally. Right. So that's a very strong, powerful choice, especially with all the bullshit you hear in the news about the war on women and everything. I mean, I guess if every woman was like Carol, there'd be no war. Whether you believe that whole thing is made up or not. So there's that. And then another thing that kind of caught me off guard with this episode was the whole, we're going to go the Marvel route and throw shit on after the credits. So if you didn't watch through the credits, you missed a very important piece of the puzzle. And that's that Morgan is back, who as you guys may or may not know if you listened to earlier episodes, I was like, this fucking guy, or it might have even been on Yakking Off I was talking about at my other show, but this fucking guy, you know, Rick is like, she's like, here's this radio. And then they never talked to him again. And then he popped up in like season 3 or 4 and he was like batshit crazy and all penned up in the city that he called Stay. And now he's out and he's not headed to Terminus because that's not a thing anymore. And Rick wrote No Sanctuary on presumably all the signs he came into. I can't imagine he just would have changed that one, but.
I hope so. I hope it was just that one.
Like, oh, let's go to Terminus. And we're just, oh, No Sanctuary. Well, fuck, we just wasted all our time walking to this place. Asshole could have saved, changed more than one sign, but no. No.
God damn, it's right there. Yeah.
So I have really high hopes for this season.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm pumped.
I hope it's not like we blew our wad on the premiere. I hope that they have a way to top it. Because it needs to.
They learned their lesson from the beginning of season 4, where it was just like that slow burn. And because every right around the middle of season 4, every episode was pretty on, in my opinion.
In season 4, it was the last episode before the mid-season break, and then every episode after were phenomenal. But those first 4 or 5 were just terrible. And I mentioned earlier that I watched crappier shows and then compared it to Sons of Anarchy, and that's where Sons of Anarchy has been now for the past season and a half. I'm just waiting for something to happen, and it never does. They're building towards the finale of the whole show because they're going off the air, and I just want it to fucking happen. I don't like the whole slow burn, and you know, not to get off on a Sons of Anarchy tangent, but Jax Teller has turned into the stupidest man on TV. Like, if you said, hey, Jax, the sky is purple, he'd probably say, okay, no worries, I believe it's purple.
Okay, Gilbert.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm super stoked. I hope it gets better from here.
That's it.
Ryan, Mitch, you need to jump on that ball game and start watching you some Walking Dead, son.
No, thanks. I'd rather watch a whiny Captain America than zombies.
A whiny Captain America?
Yeah.
Where the hell did that come from?
I was kind of taking whiny Spider-Man and Captain America. I don't know.
That's a weird jump.
I know. I couldn't think of anything else with Robert Downey Jr., so.
Well, I don't want to make that segue yet, because in other zombie news, I did watch the pilot of Z Nation the other night.
Oh, how's that?
Oh, my God. It's terrible. Like, like it's the anti-Walking Dead. I think we talked about it briefly last week. If not, we talked about it definitely the week before when we did our fall TV preview. And it's made by The Asylum, which is the same group that brought us Sharknado and Mega Shark versus Octopussy or whatever those things are called. And
Octopussy.
Yeah, so you know these movies are not, it's not good.
Mega Shark versus that Bond villain.
I'm going to look that up. I'm pretty sure it's the...
Jaws exists. Versus Jaws. What were you going to say, Mitch?
That's James Bond. Never mind.
Yeah, Jaws versus Jaws.
Jaws versus Jaws.
Look that one up if you don't get that one, boys and girls. So, yeah, Z Nation, it's a total Walking Dead ripoff, but then they just go off in left field somewhere towards the end of the show. And I'm going to continue to watch it because I've been a zombie fan forever, as Ryan can tell you. And even before I knew Ryan existed and before Ryan existed, in my 9th grade English class, I actually wrote a paper as to how George A. Romero was my hero. So my love of zombies go back a long way. So I will continue to watch Z Nation, but it's mainly, it's what Sharknado should have been to me. It's mainly going to be in the it's so good, it's so bad, it's good vein, where everybody said, oh, that's like Sharknado, it's so bad, it's good, where I watched it and I was like, no, it's just fucking bad and I want my 2 hours of my life back. But I think Z Nation, because I do like the source and everything, I think that that can definitely fall into the it's so bad it's good category for me. I don't recommend it, but if you want to watch it, there's worse ways to waste an hour. Like Sons of Anarchy.
They're averaging about 1.5 million viewers, so they're probably hitting targets that they're looking
for. That's probably good numbers for sci-fi.
Yeah.
And it comes on sci-fi, yeah. So that's got to be good numbers for sci-fi.
What is sci-fi like? What is that just their thing now? Like, we're just, like, ridiculous. That's just our thing. That's what we do.
That and reality shows, I think that's their new formula.
I think they figured that has more draw than just trying to be real.
Yeah, and I blame all you fuckers that watch Sharknado. And then watch Sharknado 2. And it had, like, parties and shit. Thanks for ruining the Sci-Fi Channel for the rest of us. They used to be legit. They used to have Battlestar Galactica and, like, Stargate and actual good shows. And now they've just got Z Nation and fucking the 1 millionth season of Face Off.
Hey, they did the Jim Henson. And I watch
Total Blackout starring Steve Urkel.
God, what's that one show? Ghost Hunters. I watched that.
Oh, well, we're on the topic of Walking Dead. Ryan, I'll have to show it to you. I'll take a picture and show it to you. But, Mitch, I'll show you. One of our listeners actually came to my house the other night. We were hanging out, and we'll segue into him a little bit later, too, because 3 or 4 weeks ago, I promised my review of the Breaking Bad pilot from 9 years ago or whatever it is. And I finally watched it, so I'm going to give you my thoughts. But anyway, this guy gave me a Lego minifigure set of, like, custom Walking Dead, the whole cast of Walking Dead that he, like, built. He, like, went to eBay and ordered the various little parts that he wanted me to have and everything. So I know I told you thank you when you gave it to me, but definitely thank you again. And I'll throw this up on our Facebook so that our thousands of listeners and our 5 Panelverse listeners can look and see what this thing looks like. Because it's pretty badass. So there.
I gotta get back to my verse at some point.
Gotta bring it back. Alright, let's take another break, and when we come back, we will talk Marvel news.
It's the world's greatest superhero collection, featuring Batman and the other half of the dynamic duo, Robin. The Hulk, that green superhero, he's fully posable. Falcon, the winged black superhero. Shazam and Iron Man. The world's greatest superheroes collection. Each superhero action figure sold separately from Mego.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight, then a duel is due, and the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
When Counselor Ryan slings his mighty dick.
Hey, what do you call Iron Man without a suit?
Tony Stark?
Stark naked.
No.
Oh, I get it.
I get it. I got you. I'm with you. So in big, huge Marvel news this week, Robert Downey Jr. has signed on to be in Captain America 3, which I'm pretty sure is going to be called Iron Man and Friend. So look out for that. Now, Ryan, you want to shed some light as to why they're throwing more Avengers and more Robert Downey Jr. other than the obvious that he's awesome and that character will never go away until he dies? Like, he'll be 90 years old and play Iron Man. Like, he'll be just a little old man inside the suit.
He doesn't need to be in the suit anymore.
He can sit at home in his wheelchair and, like, send the suit off to do shit.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, they just made an easy escape clause for themselves.
Yeah. But anyway, Ryan, you want to shed some light as to why this is happening?
I would love to shed some light. So it seems that Marvel is going to the Civil War plot in 2016. When the Civil War, for those of you who don't know, is like there was this big deal in the superhero community where they like all had to be registered, and Iron Man supported the law and Captain America didn't, and it like eventually all the superheroes divided into these two separate groups that like faced off. So that's the light on why, and you know, that's I'm surprised that that's to be in a serious movie, but I mean, I'm all for a giant superhero movie that's not an Avengers movie.
Sounds like X-Men.
Was Tony Stark director of S.H.I.E.L.D. when Civil War happened?
Yeah, I think either he was the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. before Civil War or like right afterwards.
Yeah, I'm not sure which either, but it poses an interesting point because when this was announced, he also made the statement that he'd like to have a cameo on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So with Coulson being director, if that cameo happens, especially before Captain America 3, Iron Man, and Friend, then they can totally make that transition happen that, I don't know, Coulson goes crazy or maybe he really dies this time. I don't know what route they're going to take, but they got to give Stark...
Coulson's director?
Yeah, catch up, fool. Where he was director at the end of the last season. That was like the last thing. Fucking Nick Fury showed up and said, boom, yours. Take it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So... where will that leave? I'm assuming that would start Phase 3, but where do you think that would leave, like, Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man and these lesser movies that are coming out that'll be part of the cinematic universe but not necessarily part of the Civil War storyline?
I think they're origins.
I'm thinking, like, in the meantime between, Avengers 2 and Cap 3, that's when, you know, we're going to get Ant-Man and I'm not sure what the other superhero movies announced between then and there are, but we'll have more heroes introduced to add to this struggle. So what I'm thinking is Cap 3 will deal with the Civil War, and it's like going to scatter the superhero community, and that'll set the stage for a big threat, probably Thanos, for Avengers 3.
Yeah, Thanos is going to happen because... they're definitely building towards the Infinity Gauntlet. I mean, they did the first Infinity Stone in Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's why I was wondering if they're going down that path.
Technically, they've done three Infinity Stones. The, you know, with the Tesseract being one, the Aether being second. The one that they use in Guardians of the Galaxy is technically the third. That's just the first time they officially
said it.
Like Infinity Stone. Yeah, exactly.
Yep, so I'm looking forward to it, obviously. I mean, you put Robert Downey Jr. in pretty much anything, and I'll pay to go see it. I really want to see The Judge.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like just this low-budget character piece, but I'll go see it. I've been a fan of Robert Downey Jr. for quite some time. I loved him in Natural Born Killers back when I was in high school, so it's been quite a while. And then, he had his personal struggles and kind of tanked his career for a little bit, and then he just came back in a big way. So, good for him.
Huge.
Yep.
I think there's also a rumor that, like, I mean, and maybe I'm just, like, hoping against hope, but there's a rumor that Spider-Man is going to make his way into the cinematic universe.
I did see that.
And it would make sense, especially if they're doing Civil War, because he was a huge part in that. He was, like, he actually started off on Iron Man's side with pro registration, and then eventually switched over to anti. So I think if they're gonna do Civil War, it makes sense that they would be hoping to get Spider-Man introduced into this universe by then.
Well, it's interesting that you just said that. Variety has a article on their website, and they have a picture. Probably someone may have drawn, but. It has Iron Man and Captain America pulling at a figure that looks like Spider-Man, like an older Spider-Man. And the
throws. I know which image you're talking about. It looks like it's drawn by, what's his name, Alex Ross?
Yeah, I think that's what it came up as.
Yeah, and that the suit that Spider-Man is in is actually his Iron Spider suit, which Tony Stark built for him during the Civil War arc.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man can be bought away from Sony. I mean, Amazing Spider-Man 2 didn't deliver what Sony wanted it to, so they put off Amazing Spider-Man 3 to focus on Sinister 6, and they're already trying to build, you know, their own universe with that. But I think money talks and bullshit walks. I mean, if they pay them enough, and they don't think Spider-Man 3 will be a big deal, and you know, Andrew Garfield can only play that character for so long, so they just kind of... they'll either cast him in Marvel and make it part of that, or they'll reboot the character again with somebody else. I mean,
Yeah, I think I could totally see them rebooting it again. It's only been 2 years since they did it last time, but the last time they rebooted it, it only been 5 years since Toby did it.
Yeah, but I think those movies are a hit because Andrew Garfield is just tailor-made for the character. I mean, he's
that's fair.
He's good inside of the suit and outside of the suit. I mean, Amazing Spider-Man 1 is the Tobey Maguire movie, and, you know, people kind of like that, but then people went batshit over Andrew Garfield's version, so I gotta think it's the actor and not necessarily the character, because it's something we've seen before. I mean, take Superman. You know, you got the Brandon Routh version, which wasn't very good, and then they rebooted it again with Man of Steel, and it was okay. It was enough to warrant a sequel, but they're teaming him up with Batman because Batman's the bigger franchise. So,
right.
You know, you can keep telling these origin stories, and if your actor's not there, then people don't really care.
Right.
So
I'm with it.
Do you think Downey knows a lot about the comic line?
No.
No?
No.
Because I find it interesting.
He knows a lot about, like, $80 billion or something that he commands for those movies. For that type of money, he might be sitting down and reading a comic, but other than that, no, I don't think so.
Well, I find it interesting is that originally, I guess he was slated to be a small role for like just a cheap pay kind of thing that Marvel was doing, and he wanted more. He wanted to be part more of the film's plot. So I'm wondering if like he knows the storyline of the comics and doesn't want the storyline to be ruined in the movies.
No, let's get this straight. He is the franchise. He is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The other guys, people know them. They love the characters now. They're all great actors in those roles in their own right, because I've seen them in some dreadful shit too. So I will say they're great actors in those particular roles, but he is the franchise. So if he comes in and they say, well, we want you to do this cameo, and he says, no, 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 I really want you to call it Captain America 2, Iron Man, and Friend, or Captain America 3, Iron Man, and Friend, they're going to fucking do it. They're going to name it that. Because if he if he walks, the franchise is done.
Yeah.
It's over. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may have a saving grace in if they figure out how to get Guardians of the Galaxy to Earth and Chris Pratt takes over as, like, the face of the universe. But,
right.
You know, Chris Hemsworth ain't going to do it. And, the dude, Chris Evans ain't gonna do it, and fucking Paul Rudd, you know, he's a well-known actor, but he's a character actor at best in comedies. It's like, oh, Paul Rudd's in this, all right, you know, it's not like you go see something strictly because it's starring Paul Rudd. You're just doesn't put asses in seats.
I wasn't like 40-year-old version. Paul Rudd is my shit. That's right. I gotta go.
Yeah, so I mean, he's the franchise, and they're going to do what he says, and they're going to pay him whatever he wants and let him do whatever he wants.
That's fair. But he definitely has a lot of, like, when you're absolutely right. Whenever I think of, you know, the actors, I like Robert Downey Jr. is the first I think of.
Mm-hmm.
He has like, not even like, you know, a matter of the Iron Man movies being great. And they are, Robert Downey Jr. just has that pull. He's that personality of his character. So he really holds that pedestal. He's the perfect person to head Marvel Cinematic Universe, to be the figurehead, if you will.
Yeah. And some people might think he's method acting because he's kind of acted like Tony Stark since he's got big with the movies. But I think it's the opposite. I think that's just the way he is, and they just found this perfect fit for him. I mean, you know, he literally destroyed his career and almost his life with drugs in the late 90s, and now he's just got this fuck it, I don't care attitude, and totally, if he was a superhero, he'd call a press conference and say, you know what, I'm Iron Man. That's just what he would do, because, I mean, I think that's him, so.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is after every successful movie, he gets more and more expensive. How much is it to wear? They can't afford him anymore.
They'll make a way. Disney owns all the money ever. They'll find some way to do
it. That's legit. And also, you know, it's not. If I feel like Robert Downey Jr. is the type of person that they could offer him, like, say, you know, a share of the profits of the movie, and you know, the movie's gonna make fucking bank, so he'd take that.
Yeah, because he does these little movies like The Judge, and like Due Date was a little movie, and
so
he's not below doing that, but he's gonna come out with an Iron Man, he's gonna come out with a Sherlock Holmes. I mean, Tropic Thunder was kind of a lower budget movie, and he did that, and he was great. But he's always going to circle back around and do these franchise movies where he knows people are going to fucking go see it, and at the expense of movies like The Judge and comedies like Due Date and things like that. So I think he'll be fine. I think he's humbled enough that he won't ask for all the money ever and kind of write these characters off. Because another
one of the issues that I heard about with him being cast in movies wasn't necessarily that he wanted more, but this is what I've heard, is that he wanted his co-stars to make the same money that he made.
Yeah, that's the point I was getting ready to make. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he's just a genuine narcissistic billionaire genius playboy philanthropist.
It's beautiful.
So, all right, let's take this last break because we're running a little bit long. I wish we could talk about Rebels like this, but Marvel's where it's at.
Yeah.
All right, get ready, boys and girls. Here comes my review of a TV show that originally aired in 2008. Such an exciting theme song that show has. So before I start this, Ryan, have you seen Breaking Bad?
Nope.
Mitch, have you seen Breaking Bad?
Nope.
Okay. A bunch of episodes ago, I made the statement that Breaking Bad is probably the greatest TV show I will never see. I took a lot of flack for that. I took a few comments on Facebook and then like a personal message from a listener that said, well, at least watch the pilot. Watch the pilot. You gotta watch the pilot. And it's like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then this particular listener lives up north. Well, he travels to Orlando a lot because he's in the entertainment industry as well. And he came down and he said, do you want to watch Breaking Bad together? And I was like, yeah, sure. If you come over, I mean, I really don't have a choice. I'll definitely watch it with you. So we did. So I queued up the old Netflix and put the season one pilot of Breaking Bad on, and I gotta tell you, folks, I don't know why you guys are so crazy about this damn show. I just don't get it. I mean, I get it. It was kind of black humor, not black humor like Black Jesus or Key and Peele or something like that, or the Wayans brothers, to bring that back around. It was dark humor, kind of like a Pulp Fiction or something like that. Like, the whole time I'm watching it, I was thinking, this is Quentin Tarantino if Quentin Tarantino wrote a bad script. Like, Quentin not only writes phenomenal scripts, but then he directs phenomenal movies, and everything just kind of falls into place. And even his bad movies, like Jackie Brown, are enjoyable. You know, or Four Rooms was kind of enjoyable, but then you wait for the Quentin Tarantino part, and it's like, oh, well, there it is. So I kind of feel like whoever wrote Breaking Bad was kind of a fan of Tarantino and was like, I can do that, and then just failed in the execution.
So I'll never watch it.
Now, the story of it is, if you don't know and if you're interested, a 50-ish year old man, I don't know if they ever say his age or not, he finds out he's diagnosed with cancer, and it's terminal. And he's a teacher, he's a chemistry teacher, and then he works, like, I guess part-time at a car wash, which really didn't make a whole lot of sense. They never really said why, other than he's trying to make ends meet. But it seemed to me, like, the way the show was written, it's felt to me like he was at the car wash more than he was at the school, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, they show him teaching one class, but then every other scene he's at this fucking car wash, and the boss is like, hey, can you stay? And he's like, well, I told you I really can't. And then, long story short, he ends up staying. So that was kind of weird. But anyway, his brother-in-law or somebody is a cop, and he's kind of a meek, timid, older guy. And his cop brother-in-law says, well, you know, you should go out on a ride along with me. So he does. And they go to break up a meth lab. And in this meth lab, when they break it up, he realizes that one of his former students, is like the meth kingpin, for lack of a better term. So he hooks up with him and he's like, you know, hey, I know chemistry. I really need the money. I want to set my family up. I'm dying, whatever the case may be. So he cooks up like this phenomenal meth that, you know, your typical drug dealer in the street couldn't really do, or your typical meth lab, but what you would think of a stereotypical meth lab. If you're on meth and you know different, let us know at Imperial Jamboree.
We'd
love to know what real meth dealers are like, but clearly this guy has the knowledge and the kid has the contacts and everything to sell it. So they end up making meth, and I guess you can say hilarity ensues, because they're out in the desert and they got this RV. So they're like, it's a mobile meth lab, so it's foolproof and they can just do what they want to do. And then the drug dealers that got busted when he went on the ride along show up and actually like hold them up. So he ends up killing them, and the mobile meth lab catches fire and he's driving it down the road. And you know, all this stuff is kind of a comical situation. It's not like haha funny, but like I said earlier, it's more of a dark comedy. So it's like, oh, that's kind of a comical situation. And then it just fucking ended. And I was like, this didn't compel me to continue watching this show. So that's the pilot in a nutshell. That was an hour and a half of my life. It was probably 2 hours when it actually premiered on AMC. So there you go. And I'm sure you guys have both heard how great it is. I'm sure you have mutual friends and even non-mutual friends that sing the praises of this show. So I actually brought it up that, hey, I watched the pilot and I didn't like it. And everybody's like, oh, dude, you got to give it a chance. It gets so much better. And I'm like, I don't have time to do that. If you don't hook me right off the bat, I'm done with you. I mean, I proved that with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And clearly we're big Marvel fans. And it took me until this year and until like last week to finish watching the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And where I'm living with Sons of Anarchy right now is if the first and second and the first half of the third season weren't so good, like if they started Sons of Anarchy last week with the episodes they've been showing, I'd be like, fuck this show and jump off. I mean, I don't have the time to commit to that. With my family and my demanding job and everything else, I'm very limited in free time and what I can watch. And I don't want to watch something on a promise that, oh, dude, it's going to get so much better. So there's my review. And my dog's going batshit. I don't know if someone's at the door.
Well,
shouldn't be. It's way late at night.
Agrees with your review.
Yeah, she might agree with my review. That's a good point.
You know, it's really funny. I'm reading the Wikipedia and someone's posted on here that the concept emerged as Vince Gilligan, the creator.
There you go. I couldn't think of his name when I was talking.
Was talking with his fellow writer, Thomas Schnaz, I guess, regarding their current unemployment, and joked that the solution was for them to put a meth lab in the back of an RV and drive around the country cooking meth and making money.
Apparently, he tried to sell this show to a bunch of different networks, and finally AMC bid on it. But the story goes that the executives were like, we don't understand it. We have no clue what you're trying to do. We don't get it. But we enjoyed your pitch, and you've been successful in the past, so we're going to give you a shot.
Vince Gilligan also wrote for The X-Files.
There you go. So that's why. I mean, he was a name in the industry and in Hollywood already, and they're like, we don't get it, but we'll give you a shot. And then it turned out to be a hugely successful and popular show for AMC. So I just didn't get it, and hate to tell you, buddy, but I'm probably not going to watch any more of it unless you come back to Orlando and we can have beers and I'll watch some more.
Date night with Jack. I
mean, the way you talk about it there, like, it just kind of like speaks to my philosophy of like, I don't watch shows that people hype up way too much, because like I'm almost always let down. Like, I have to wait for the hype to just shut up for a bit so I can watch it with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, yeah, all right, it probably does get better, but because this is like where, like, you know, the bar is set so high, I can't start off on a slow bit because I'm expecting it to be here. And it hasn't built up to that yet. And I'm not going to wait for it to do that.
No. I just don't have the time.
apparently.
I'm pushing 40. I got to be way more selective nowadays. I've lived half of my life, so.
I have time. I just don't spend the other half.
Well, you know, another show that was on TV while he was trying to pitch this Breaking Bad show? Mm-hmm. Weeds, which was very similar.
Yeah, and that was on Showtime, though, wasn't it? I mean, like, I gotta pay a premium to watch that show, so that show really shouldn't be shitty, but whatever.
I think I watched a couple episodes, and I was like, I don't get this.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not into drug culture. Like, as stupid as this is going to sound, since I'm such a big Kevin Smith fan, like, stoner comedies don't do it for me. Like, you know, anything that is part of drug culture, I can see it. I can see how it's humorous in some respects, or how it's, you know, vaguely comical in the respect of Breaking Bad or violent or whatever the case may be. But uh-huh. I'm just not a big drug culture type of a guy. So,
you know, Mythbusters tried to disintegrate a body or something with acids and stuff that they did in one of the episodes. Yeah, and they failed at it. No, they failed, and they couldn't do it. And they had the producers in there all like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this. And like they're trying everything to do it, and it's like, you can't do it.
So, did they fail or did they bust the myth? I don't know.
They bust.
Isn't that how it works if they can't do it?
They failed in achieving it, so they busted the myth because they failed.
The moral of this story is, don't give your body to science. Because you will end up on Mythbusters, where someone's trying to cook you with acid. You will end up part of a magic trick for Chris Angel. You will end up being buried somewhere just to see how long your body decomposes. This isn't good stuff, people. By all means, if you got good organs, I'm not against donating organs, but don't just indiscriminately donate your body to science, because some fucked up shit happens to cadavers once they get taken somewhere. All right. Well, Breaking Bad, sorry. I don't see the love affair, and I probably never will, unfortunately. So let's wrap this up, because this has been a jam-packed episode. I mean, this is the one you can tell that we're back, because last week we were funny and airing all of our dirty laundry and making light of things. So maybe next week we can, now that we've got the big news episode out of the way, maybe next week we can find the combination of news and comedy, which is what this show is supposed to be, instead of just fucking putting out the news and saying how awesome everything is. Unless it's Breaking Bad or Z Nation.
Everything is awesome.
Oh, my God. All right, who's doing the plugs? Does everybody speak at once?
I mean, Butternut's always there, so why don't you let him do it?
All right. You want to hear how bad it is? Because I know you don't listen to episodes once they get posted.
Thanks.
Well, if he listened to episodes once they got posted, he'd know, but he don't. He's too busy listening to... No, we're not going to go there right now.
All right, campers, you can reach us at our media outlets of facebook.com/ImperialJamboree, Twitter at Imperial_Jam, ImperialJamboree.podomatic.com. You can also reach us at Stitcher and iTunes. And now back to the greatest man that ever lived, Jack Lambert.
And that's the only part he gets right. The greatest man that ever lived, Jack Lambert.
I was trying to time that out to the audio bit.
It worked.
Yeah.
You did a good job. So, Thursday, 2 days from now, I mentioned last week, I'm going to do my Whirlwind theme park tour. So I'm sure I'll talk about that next week. Going to Hollow Scream at Busch Gardens Tampa, going to Disney for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, and then going to Legoland, which I can tell you anything you want to know about Legoland, right down to the wiring.
You should just throw SeaWorld in.
Yeah, I'm over SeaWorld. Until SeaWorld changes their event, I'm kind of over it. I mean, it's good. I'm not knocking it. It is a good event. It's just I've been there, done that event for me.
Yeah, but that doesn't beat like my 7-park in 6 days trip that I did like 12 years ago.
'Tis true. So what are you doing, Mitch? I know you're not going to Bush with us, so you'll be going to Disney.
Maybe. I'm still putting it as a maybe just because of things that are happening at work. But then I'm going to join you at Disney.
Yeah.
Because that's always fun. You can always enjoy a park where they limit the attendance.
Yep.
So, and then I got work.
Okay.
So while you're out in the park having fun, I'll be working.
Ryan, you got anything going on?
I mean, I might see some movies this weekend. It just depends on what's at the theater.
Yeah.
What's out?
Let's see. This weekend.
This is Ryan's plug for the movie theater he works at. We did this last week. He was like, currently playing is Gone Girl and Maze Runner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did do that. We got Fury, Addicted, Dracula Untold, The Judge, Gone Girl, and The Equalizer.
Dracula got third place this last weekend.
I'm so not interested.
Alexander got second.
Like, even the Haunted House Hollywood Horror Nights.
Hey, we should see that Mexican
Halloween Horror Nights this week. Just does nothing for me.
Yeah, we should see that Mexican Halloween movie.
No. No.
What?
The Book of Life. Have you seen the trailers for it? It's literally it's a Mexican Halloween movie.
Good.
All right, Ryan. Well, I'm going to task you with seeing movies so that we don't just talk about theme parks next week. Because
sounds good.
You know, our listeners are sticks to the facts type of people. Stick to the facts and be funny, fuckers. That's what they want out of us. Oh, I bought Days of Futures Past on Blu-ray today, so I might check that out again. Because I've only seen it once in the theater, and I really dug it. So, you know me. Usually if I don't like a movie in a theater, when I watch it again on Blu-ray, I like it better. So maybe it's the reverse for Days of Futures Past. Be like, what the hell was I thinking? That was terrible. So anyway, I'm looking forward to watching that, and... And we'll go from there. So
maybe the special features would be better.
Maybe. Until next week, kids. See you around.
Yep.
I'm gonna say hi to the guy with the knife.